Well, good morning, TNC family. On this first Sunday in May, where? Today here, I want to begin by asking you to imagine that tonight, while you're sleeping, you are awakened and the person who wakes you says that they will grant you one wish, any wish that you think will make your life greater. And imagine, too, that they, in fact, had the power to grant you that wish. What would you wish for? To win the lottery? Bam! You've got enough money to pay off debt, secure all bucket lists, give to every charity you've ever believed in, live securely, and leave millions to those you love. Or maybe your wish isn't for money, but rather for a good job that you love. Or maybe it's to lose weight and get in perfect physical shape. Or maybe it's for deeper friendships, or the health, happiness, or healing of a family member. Maybe it's to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, to be married, or to have the power to break a bad habit. What would you wish for? Well, I ask because in the Bible, there's a story about a time when this was not just an imaginary exercise, but when God actually came to a man one night, 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you, and it will be given." Solomon, your choice. And so Solomon takes a lot of time, but then he answers, "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." Verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." And God gives Solomon the gift of wisdom, something that has been greatly prized throughout history for the Greeks: philosophy, philo, love, sophia, wisdom. Philosophy was literally the love of wisdom. In Hinduism, they talk about jnana, wisdom, and vidya, knowledge, both important. But the better, they say, is jnana, wisdom. Which may be why Yoda from Star Wars, today is May 4th, may the 4th be with you, why Yoda is to be admired over Spock from Star Trek. Spock is the essence of knowledge and rationality, but Yoda is the personification of wisdom, which takes knowledge and rationality, but then adds to it emotional intelligence, judgment about complex matters that have no simple answers, and insight into the way the cosmos has been designed. Wisdom is supreme, the Jewish scriptures tell us. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. And I love how the scriptures personify wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." And then this: "Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? She sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, 'Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight.'" Israel loved wisdom. And I think if God could give you, could give me, TNC, any gift, today, this week, this month, this summer, 2025, for the rest of our lives, the best gift would be the gift of a greater wisdom. Something we need in our day more than ever. And so today, we start a series rooted in the scriptures on wisdom. Next week, I want to consider with you truth versus opinion. In 2 weeks, a teaching called Field of Flowers. And then in the final week, 7 ways we self-sabotage. But today, to start, I want to just share with you 4 of my favorite proverbs from the scriptures in the book of Proverbs. 4 proverbs, and your job when we're done is to ask yourself, which one of the 4, which one do I most need to embrace in my life today? So here we go. Number 1, Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a woman thinks in her heart, so she is." It's a proverb about the priority of the inner you, what's going on in your heart. This is why in the New Testament we find Paul rotting away in prison. His enemies are gloating. His outer game is not going well. But he writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, quote, We do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. How's Paul doing? It's the strangest thing, TNC. He writes, I've been shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned, starved. I'm dying on the outside, but inside, I'm coming to life. Growing and changing and getting stronger, and joy keeps bubbling up even in prison, and I keep getting more hopeful and finding people to love more deeply. And turns out, his inner life is more determinative of his whole life than his outer circumstances. Turns out it's true. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Which is why the poet Maya Angelou observed once that nothing can dim the light if it shines from within. And why baseball great Ty Cobb was famous for saying, the most important part of a player's body is above his shoulders. And it's why I was at the grocery store some time ago, pushing my cart, turned right, saw the row of Oreos, and inside, I thought, double stuffed, plus sweet honey barbecue chips, plus an evening of basketball, so shall I be. But then, as I was pushing my cart toward the checkout, I passed by a man, probably in his late 20s or 30s, and he was clearly in great shape, and his cart was filled with fresh fruits and vegetables, and my mind shifted. Here's the key, my insides changed, and what followed? My feet, my outsides, back to aisle A23, where I returned the Oreos, then went and grabbed some carrots, broccoli, and peppers, went home, did 50 push-ups and sit-ups. Why? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. TNC, how are your insides? Because whatever is stored up on the inside, whatever is going on the inside, that's what will define your life. And Paul understood this, which is why he wrote to the church at Philippi, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Get around the things that give you good thoughts. Which leads to some questions. What music gives you the right thoughts? Listen to it. What activities give you the right thoughts? Do them. What conversations, books, and friendships strengthen your insides? What places lift your ideals and visions for the life well lived? Because two people can face the exact same situation on the outside. A challenge at work, an invitation to serve, a stack of dirty dishes, a diagnosis, disappointment, disagreement, and one person is filled with peace and courage, but the other person, same external situation, has an entirely different inner dialogue and is immobilized with timidness and fear and anger. Because here's the wisdom, it's our first proverb for today, as a woman thinks in her heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so she is, so he is. And now to a second proverb, and remember when we get to the end, your job is to figure out which one of the four proverbs you most need to embrace in your life. Number two, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. The wise are glad to be instructed, but the fool keeps talking and falls flat on their face. The wise are glad to be instructed. This is about humbly seeking instruction and new information, and then celebrating when we get to update our beliefs. Because in the words of Kirsty Morell, the writer and PhD from MIT, quote, I've learned that there's no benefit to being wrong for longer. It's much better if I change my beliefs sooner. Or listen to this sentence from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Which means we've got to be routinely asking people around us, hey, do you see anything in this situation that I don't see? Do you feel anything that I may not feel? And of course, we need to ask this of the right people, wise people, honest people, because one of the problems in our world, and we see this most vividly in politics, I think, is that those with the most power often surround themselves with people who just say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But we cannot be like that, because if you don't have the right people around you, you're not going to have the right voices speaking to you. And if you don't have the right voices speaking to you, you won't make the right choices. And if you don't make the right choices, you'll end up in places that are no good for you. The wise are glad to be instructed, the proverb says, but the fool says, Nah, I'll figure it out for myself. No matter how hard or costly or draining it's going to be, I'd prefer to just disregard the mountains of wisdom available to me from elders and books and history, and instead, I'll think some version of, yeah, might be true for them, but that's not true for me. And so by default, these folks, at best, they learn the hard way. And often, and unfortunately, the things they learn the hard way, they always tend to be the big things in life. I mean, like it's never insights about how to care for a plant, or where to buy that puzzle glue, or what to watch on Netflix. Folks tend to take advice about that. But on the big stuff, stuff we spend most of our lives learning the hard way, we don't like to listen. Things like debt is the enemy. Nah, I'd like to go into debt myself and see if it's true. Like people who fail to plan, plan to fail. Nah, I'd like to jump quickly into that and I'll figure it out as I go. Like you need to end that relationship and there will come a time when you'll even be grateful that you did it. Nah, I'm gonna stay in this destructive relationship. Like, you need to change your diet, start to exercise. Nah, I'm too busy for that. And even that short list of examples, TNC, that I just gave, you might go, yeah, those are pretty basic, obvious insights. Everybody has heard that before. But if they're so basic, why does everybody so reliably fall prey to them consistently throughout their lives? Why do folks convince themselves that I'm the exception, given my particular mental makeup or life situation or historical wounds or dreams for the future? I am immune to these lessons being applicable to me. All of this well-known wisdom sure applies to most people, but me, nah, I don't need instruction. And then it all hits the fan and you're underwater in the middle of a hell. And if you're honest, then a little voice in the back of your mind will say, why didn't I let people who are wiser than me show me a way forward? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, the wise are glad to be instructed, but the fool keeps talking and falls flat on their face. Now a third proverb, number 3, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he will not even bring it back to his mouth. A picture of a person who's so lazy that he grabs a chip, he puts his hand in a salsa bowl, and decides, oh man, my hand is buried in this dish, but it's not even worth the energy it would take to transport the chip all the way back to my mouth, so I'll just leave my hand right there in the dish. And the point of the proverb is, nobody ever gets to greater or better through laziness. On the other hand, if you work hard, consistently, almost always, you'll get your chance. Now, of course, there's exceptions, things that happen outside of your control, but it really is a generous and consistent rule of life. I've seen this for years as a pastor. You don't have to have gifted DNA or supernatural ability. Just be good, faithfully and consistently good. Like TNC, if you wake up, work hard, stay focused, be kind, love well, respond to invitations and texts promptly, treat others with respect, eat your vegetables, go on a walk, get some sleep, repeat, 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 stack your days like this, then you can look forward to experiencing a kind of peace and progress. And you'll enjoy all the chips and salsa you want, and typically surrounded by great purpose and opportunities to love and be loved, but you've got to work hard. And typically, the way it works is the harder you work, the better your results will be. This is one of the reasons I love watching Steph Curry play basketball, because he is known as one of the hardest working players in the game, which is why he gets the results. They were talking on the broadcast the other night about how he works so hard that sometimes in practice he will bend over and vomit because he's pushing himself so hard. His trainer said about him some time ago, quote, Curry is always looking to improve, always in the gym, extra time, he's a gym rat, always there, never seen anything like it. And his teammate Draymond Green, who hosts a podcast, said about Curry's work ethic, quote, it takes somebody 2.5 hours to do a workout Curry does in 30 minutes, he pushes himself so hard. Which reminds me of something Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor said in an interview some time ago. This is not a direct quote, but it's very close. She said, I learned early in life that a surplus of effort overcomes a mountain of deficits. And yet, there are folks who just refuse to work hard, which is why I always find it to be a unique form of frustrating when someone complains about results they didn't get from work they didn't put in. Proverbs 19, verse 24, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. Now a final proverb. Remember, your job is to, at the end of today, figure out which one of the four proverbs you most need to embrace in your life. Number four, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. A proverb about faith and priorities, and everybody has a faith and a priority. It's just that you can put your faith in many things, and if you look around and ask, what is the primary faith in place in contemporary America, you may discover that it's not often a faith in God. The author, professor of literature, and historian Joseph Campbell often wrote about how we know the priorities of a culture by its tallest buildings. For centuries, it was churches, he said, whose peaks would rise above a village or a town. Then it was the towers of government that stood tallest, city halls, presidential palaces, monuments to nations. But then finally, Campbell writes, it has become the skyscrapers and the headquarters of corporations who put their faith in money. They have created the skylines in America. But whether it's yourself or religion or politicians or money, we all put our faith in something. And this fourth proverb calls us to put our trust in God. After all, can we agree that there are fundamental questions that nothing but a belief in God can answer? Why did the universe have a beginning? Why is there something instead of nothing? Why do human beings have a consciousness? What is the source of morality? Do good and evil have any real significance? Why is love at the center of what matters most? Where do I turn when everything seems to be coming apart for me? What is my best way forward here? Where do I find hope and confidence beyond the grave? TNC, national monuments, and the work done inside skyscrapers don't offer the best answers to these questions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Faith does. And so, these are four proverbs as we begin this series on wisdom. And remember, your question and mine, which one do you most need to embrace in your life today? Is it the first proverb, as a woman thinks in her heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so she is, so he is, a call to get around what gives us greater thoughts? Or is it the second, the wise are glad to be instructed, in which the call is to welcome the counsel of others and to celebrate when we get to update our beliefs? Is it the third, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, he will not even bring it back to his mouth, a call to recommit ourselves to a stronger work ethic? Or is it the fourth, trust in the Lord with all your heart? Because do you hear that? Listen, Lady Wisdom is calling. Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. And so now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.